Well, good morning, everybody. It's so great to see all of you here this morning. Thanks for coming. And God's doing a lot of great things. Our worship team, as I mentioned, Brian took today off. The worship team is getting ready to return on a missions trip. We've been doing some work in Slovenia over the last decade or so. And we've been asked to send a team over there to lead worship at a conference and to do some worship training for some musicians and vocalists over there. And so you can pray for them. They're going to be heading out in just a couple of weeks. And so they're preparing for that even as we go. And we met this week and we're lining up some other opportunities to go out of our community to serve the Lord. And so we want to encourage you as you hear about those to possibly get involved in some this summer. We like to not just make Jesus known here in the foothills, but around the world. The luncheon that they're having today about Sierra Leone, we want to encourage you to join that. God, is doing some great things in Africa, and we've been involved in there over in Africa as well. So lots of great things going on. God is moving. In spite of all the craziness, right? God is still at work. He's still at work. So let's grab our Bibles. We're going to the Philippians again. We're wrapping up our series this morning called Settle It. Settle It. Finding firm footing in shifting sands. So we've been looking at different topics, different areas of life, primarily from the book of Philippians. So you can find Philippians. And Philippians was written by Paul. Paul is in prison in Rome. And he's having some time to reflect. He's writing this letter to his dear friends in Philippi. And he uses the word I and me a lot in this letter. And we've been using those situations to kind of glean from his own heart about issues that he's had to settle in his own life as he was dealing with the shifting sands of the first century Roman Empire and trying to live for Jesus in that context. And so we've been using this idea. And Ephesians chapter 4 has kind of been the launching pad for a lot of what we've been talking about. And it says this: as followers of Jesus, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We, as followers of Jesus, want to stand firm. So we looked at the issue and we launched it with settle your resolve. Like, I'm going to do things God's way. That's my resolve. No matter what the culture says, no matter what's going on in life, I'm going to try and determine in my heart to do things the way that God would want me to do them, determining my resolve or settling my resolve, settling your identity. Chapter 1, Paul says, for me to live is who? Christ. And of all the identities that I have in my life, my supreme identity is who I am in Jesus. We need to settle our identity, settle our response. You know, Paul saw in the midst of his difficulties, God was doing some good stuff. And he said in chapter 1, in spite of my imprisonment, God's up to some really great things. And we need to have that response to our culture. And what's going on in the world is crazy, but God is up to some good stuff. So we need to settle our responses. We need to bring salt and light into our culture. So we talked about that. Settling our contentment. Contentment is both a virtue and a practice. And our culture is telling us that you always need the bigger and the better, the newer and the nicer. But in order to be effective followers of Jesus, we need to settle this issue of contentment. And I want to wrap up this morning with settling your rituals. Settling your rituals. How many of you grew up in a Christian home where your family was a Christian family? How many of you was a strict Christian family? Okay. My parents divorced when I was 1. My dad married my mom when I was 8. And my father was not a follower of Jesus, and my stepmother was. And so she started dragging us back to church. The reason she drug us back to church is because me and my older brother and sister were so out of control, she couldn't control us, she needed help. So I take credit for my mom's walk with the Lord, okay? But when we started going back to church, my dad got saved, and immediately our house changed. And introduced to our house were these new Christian rituals, these sacred activities, because ritual is a sacred activity. All of a sudden, we started getting up on Sunday morning, and instead of reading the newspaper and watching television, we all piled in the car and went to church. All of a sudden, on the refrigerator chore chart, because we had weekly chore charts that we had to check off every day, there was Bible reading for 10 minutes and praying for 5 minutes with your eyes closed. And I told you this before, I remember praying for everything I could think of under the sun, and I'd look at my clock and I still had 3 of the 5 minutes left. We started going to youth group. We started talking about what God's doing around the world, and we started giving money to those things. And my parents started talking about this tithing thing where you give part of what God's given to you back to Him for His work. We started these rituals, these spiritual activities. And you know, when I was young, I kind of interpreted that as the new rules. And so I didn't really always like doing those Christian chores. But as I got older and as I began to see their value, I began to realize that my parents weren't being legalistic. My parents were actually instilling in us our Christian rituals. And if we're going to talk about standing firm and finding firm footing in the midst of shifting sands, we need some good, healthy Christian rituals to strengthen us. There's a very interesting paragraph in chapter 1 of Philippians. So I want to start in verse 27 and read verses 27 and 28. And I want you to notice the personal pronouns in these two verses because they're all in the plural form. So whatever he's going to tell us in these two verses, he's telling us together because he's using the personal pronoun in the plural form. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's using the personal pronoun in the plural form. In other words, whatever he's going to tell us, he wants us to do it together. Chapter 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come to you and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you and that you're standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. If you like to highlight words and phrases in your Bible, I want to encourage you, go back to verse 27 and underline the word conduct. That's a very important word. And then there's the phrase, manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then underline the word, the phrase, standing firm. And then finally, striving together. These are very important phrases as Paul is going to talk to us today about some sacred activities that help us stand firm and strive together. Because if I want to find firm footing in the culture in which I live and the shifting sands of ideas and morals and truths and politics, all of this cultural shifting that's going on, if I want to stand firm, I need to be strengthened by my Christian rituals, by my spiritual activities. Let's pick this part. Let's pick these two verses apart just a little bit. The first part of chapter 1, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Very interesting words in this verse. The word conduct there means to live the life of a good citizen. When the Philippian church heard this letter being read and Paul uses this word conduct, they would have immediately understood what he was talking about because it's a civil word, which means take pride in your community. The Philippians were a city-state. And so they took pride in being Philippians. They were also a Roman colony, so they had a lot of retired military personnel living in the community. They would have been very, very patriotic people for the Roman Empire. And so Paul is telling them, hey, be proud of who you are. Be patriotic about who you are and live the life of a good citizen. The word worthy there means consistent with or appropriate to. So however you conduct yourself, make it appropriate to who you are and who you and where you're a citizen of. It's a very interesting, they would have immediately got the connection between their conduct and their citizenship. Paul saying, hey, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, if we were to take this verse and say, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the American life, we might understand what he's talking about. Because see, as Americans, we do certain things. We have several different rituals or ceremonies that we engage in as Americans. When our national anthem is played somewhere, we stand. And if we're military, we salute or we put our hand over our chest. That is a ceremony that we do as Americans. We make a pledge to our flag and our country. We have patriotic ceremonies, and we get upset when our citizens violate those patriotic ceremonies. We vote, we speak up, we speak out. We have our American passport and our birth certificate that declare that we are citizens of the United States of America. And during this time of year, we pay taxes as the American way. We have ceremonies, we have, if you will, rituals that go along with the American way. As Americans, we also remember our people and our history. Every year, we celebrate 4th of July. Every year, we celebrate Labor Day and Memorial Day. We honor our heroes by having President's Day or Hero Day like Martin Luther King Day. We remember our people and our history. Thirdly, we enjoy our national pastimes. We enjoy baseball and basketball and football and barbecue and apple pie. We enjoy the Americana life. We love our national parks and our beaches and our mountains and our lakes and our oceans and our rivers. We enjoy our national pastimes. And we also produce more citizens, either through birth or naturalization. We grow, we produce more citizens. So this is the conduct that is in a manner worthy of the American way. We have ceremonies, we remember our history, we enjoy our national pastimes, and we produce more citizens. Well, in this particular verse, he's telling us, conduct yourselves or live the life of a good citizen worthy or consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's he saying? He's saying that I was a sinner, because the gospel of Christ is all about how I was a sinner in need of God's grace, and now I've become a citizen of his kingdom. So Paul is saying, just as you Philippians know how to celebrate your identity as a city state and as a Roman Empire, Roman colony, so now conduct yourselves as good citizens worthy of the kingdom in which you're a new citizen. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. So conduct yourselves in a manner like that. How do we do that? He says there at the end of verse 27, I want to hear that you are standing firm in one spirit and mind, striving together. So we carry this out. The phrase standing firm is a military term. It's interesting that he uses civil terms and military terms in these two verses. The military term means to not leave your post. That as a soldier, I'm standing guard at my post, and no matter what comes at me, no matter what I hear, I'm not abandoning my post. And Paul is comparing that to, hey, now you're a follower of Jesus, and you're a citizen of his kingdom. So what does it mean to stand your post? What does it mean to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of that citizenship? Don't abandon your post. Don't give up on your citizenship of the kingdom. And then he uses that phrase, striving together. Again, in the plural form, doing this together. The phrase striving together means to wrestle in company. We used to play that game on the playground when we were little. You'd give somebody the ball and the rest of them would tackle them as a gang tackle that person, right? And then you throw the ball and somebody else would get it and you gang tackle them. Okay? That game was called what? You can't say it anymore, can you? But we're doing this together. What's Paul's point? Here's the key point for this morning. If we want to stand firm, we need our conduct to be consistent with our confession. When we confess the Lord as our Savior and God, we just want our conduct to be consistent with our confession. And in order to do that, I need to engage in some rituals. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men," I love that phrase, before men, in front of people, "in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is saying our post in this culture is to be light. And our conduct should be before men, to be seen by men, so that when they see our good conduct, they themselves can turn to God and have a relationship with him. So our goal is that our conduct as citizens of God's kingdom would be consistent with our confession of our citizenship. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying there. And so the question that we have is, well, what are the rituals that strengthen our conduct? I would present to us today, they're very similar to the ones in the way of the American life. That as Americans, we have certain ceremonies we do. We have things that we remember and highlight. We have pastimes that we enjoy, and we reproduce more citizens. I think that we're going to find this morning, it's very similar to our walk with God, but we do it together. I've written down here six. What are the rituals that strengthen our conduct? Number one, we gather to listen to the Word of God. We gather to listen to the Word of God. You know, there are many voices in our culture that are striving to be your compass in life. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in one of the compasses from our culture instead of the Bible being our compass. You know, it's interesting these last few weeks to read the headlines, isn't it? A lot of crazy things going on. It's interesting to me that Disney is trying to be a compass in our culture. That this entertainment industry is now making statements about legislation, and they're trying to become a moral compass in the culture. It's interesting, just this morning I was reading that yesterday on ESPN, a station that I watch a lot because I love sports, had a couple of their commentators stop for a 2-minute moment of silence in protest to a piece of legislation they didn't agree with. And it's just interesting that ESPN, who's supposed to just show us sports, is now trying to become a moral compass in our culture. And I just think that's so interesting because that's not how they started, and I'm not sure why they want to take on that expanded role, but if I'm not careful, I can listen to the compasses of my culture, and I can miss the compass of the Lord. I love Psalm 119, 105. The word, your word, is a what? Lamp to my feet and a what? A light to my path. God's word is our compass. And I need to take the voices of my culture and filter them through the moral compass of Scripture, and then I'm going to stand my post. And I'm not going to leave this. If I have to choose between something that my culture, as soon as I get through puberty, it'll go away. It'll stop doing that. But if we're not careful, we can listen to the moral compasses of our culture and not the moral compass of God's word. And we can walk away from our post. That's why it's so good for us to gather and to listen to God's word. It helps us stand firm and strive together, because collectively we all say, this is our compass, not culture. And I love Auburn Grace because we've worked really hard that at no matter what you engage in here, whether it's kids' Sunday school or student ministries or a life group or a Sunday school class or church, when you gather at Auburn Grace, you're going to get God's word. because this is our compass. And so growing up, when I had that chore chart, reading the Bible for 5 minutes, that started out as a rule. As I've gotten older and matured, I've realized that wasn't a rule. That was actually a tool to help me stand my post and not waver in my faith. So now all of a sudden a rule becomes a ritual, which is super healthy for me to engage in. So how seriously do we take the ritual of gathering to listen to God's word? Is it part of our routine? I also love 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching me, for reproving me, which means giving me very strong pointed advice, for correcting me, and for training me in righteousness so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If I want to be equipped to stand firm, if we want to strive together, we need to not leave the guard post of God's word. This is our compass. And so part of our Christian ritual routine is to gather and listen to God's word. Second of all, to gather and lift up Jesus through worship. To lift up Jesus through worship. We can sing worship songs at home. We can play worship songs at home. But there's something special about gathering together and worshiping the Lord together. Because when we lift up Jesus together, it helps us go into our individual lives and stand our post and conduct ourselves in a way that matches our confession. That's why we gather and worship. We lift up Jesus. It helps us. We gather to pray for one another and our world. These are some of our Christian faith rituals. Praying together. Praying for one another. Praying for those around us. Praying for our world. We gather together to remember our spiritual history. We take communion together. That's a moment where we stop and we remember the death of Jesus and we lift him up. We stop and we remember Easter, the resurrection day. We stop and we remember his birth. We have all of these remembrances of our past spiritual history and our past spiritual forefathers, and it's great for us to get together and to remember those. It helps us. We enjoy our spiritual pastimes. We enjoy just being together. The Bible calls it fellowship. We enjoy spending time together. We enjoy a concert coming up together. We enjoy life groups together. We just enjoy our spiritual pastimes. This is kind of just kind of what Christians do. We kind of get together once in a while. And we always eat a lot of food together. Okay, that's part of our sacred rituals. But when we just hang out together, it helps us in our individual lives to stand firm. To stand firm. And then we produce more followers, either through birth or for conversion. If we have those children, we try to raise them up to love the Lord. And Christian parents are trying to raise children to know the Lord. So through birth, children can come into a relationship with Jesus. Through conversion, by telling the world that doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. And so we can see people that don't know him come to know him. We are in the work of reproducing more followers of Jesus. So in conclusion, we gather with intentionality. That we make this an intentional part of our family routine. That these Christian rituals, like the Bible and worship and prayer and witnessing and fellowship, I do them on a personal level, but we also intentionally come together because we realize what Paul is saying here. If I want to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, if I want to live out the good citizenship of his kingdom, and we're going to do it together, we come together intentionally. So I just want to say thank you for intentionally coming from your house this morning and gathering together, because you are fulfilling one of the Christian rituals that help us all stand firm. And my hope and prayer is as you leave today, you will be better equipped for this week to stand the post that God has given you to stand. You know, when we come on Sunday mornings, we try to accomplish three things. Two are not about me. One is, first and foremost, I want to come and lift up the name of Jesus. So coming to church is all about him and lifting him up. It's not about me. Second of all, I want to encourage someone here. I don't come to church thinking, who's going to encourage me today? I come to church thinking, who am I going to encourage today? And then thirdly, I want to sit under and listen to the Word of God so that it can help me understand how to carry out my citizenship of the kingdom. So we gather together to do this, and we do it with intentionality. Second of all, we also gather with spiritual preparedness. One of the most fascinating things I discovered on one of our church's trip to Israel, we've been blessed to be able to go a couple of times, is when you go to the temple in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, where Herod's temple was and where Jesus went in, there was a up at the corner on Sabbath morning, the call to worship would be a trumpeter standing up there blowing his trumpet, and people would come from all the houses and they would walk up the hill and they would come into the temple area. But before you could go into the temple area, you had to do a couple of things. It's so interesting, outside the temple in the common area, there's all these little, what they call mikvahs, and they're little baths. But they're ceremonial baths, and there's a bunch of them, and some are for the men, and some are for the ladies. And a mikvah consists of stairs that go down into a big, huge bathtub, like a spa, and then stairs, separate stairs that come up, and in between the stairs that go down and the stairs that come up is a wall that's about this high. And what you would do is you would walk up as a family to the mikvahs, and then the women would go to one section, and the men and boys would go to another section, and you would go to the mikvah, and you would take off your regular clothes, and you would walk down the steps, walk through the bath, and you would come up the stairs, you would put on your temple clothes, and then you would rejoin your family and you would walk up to church. That was a ritual. Now, growing up, we had to get ready for church. Did anybody have a church routine growing up? Saturday night, we always had to take a bath, because apparently you can't go to church dirty. How many of you had play clothes and school clothes like I did growing up? You weren't allowed to wear your play clothes to church. You had to wear your nice clothes to church. And then we would get in the car and we would all drive together to church and we would all walk into church. And when we woke up on Sunday morning, we weren't allowed to run out and get the newspaper that used to have the printed funny pages in them. My dad said, no newspapers until what? After church. You weren't allowed to turn on TV and start the football game or to start the show until when? After church. Why? Because starting on Saturday night and going through Sunday morning, my parents were trying to instill in us the spiritual preparedness for the ritual. Does that make sense? And I learned that, first of all, there's a bunch of rules. I didn't like those rules. But as I got older, I realized they weren't rules. They're just preparing for the ritual, because going to church and being together was special, and we were going to lift up God and we were going to hear his word. So just like the ancient Jews who went through the mikvahs to prepare themselves before they entered the temple area, so my family had a ritual so that our hearts might be more prepared to go to church on Sunday. Isn't that interesting? After you left the mikvah, You were not allowed to touch anybody because you didn't know if they were clean or unclean. If you touched somebody, you had to go back and do the mikvah again. But the steps, if you go to Jerusalem today, this is super fascinating. If you go up the steps, because the ancient steps are still there, but the steps are different heights and they're different depths. OSHA would never approve of the steps of God's house. But it was intentional, because if you walk up steps that are uneven, what does it make you do? Slow down. It makes you pay attention to what you're doing. And the purpose was, now that I'm ceremonially clean, I'm going to slow down. And I'm going to go into the presence of God prepared. Super interesting. And so as we talk about gathering intentionally, do we do it with spiritual preparedness? I don't want to come into church and then get in the mood to worship. I want to try and come into the temple, come into the house of God, already ready to worship, which means I might have to do something Saturday night, or I might have to not do something Saturday night, or I might have to create a routine on Sunday morning, something that gets me prepared for the gathering. That's why we have morning, or that's why we have personal devotions. Why? Because it prepares me for the day. Or if I have them in the evening, it helps me wrap up my day. And all of these things, they're not rules. They're rituals to prepare me for whatever's coming today, or to prepare me for the next day. So we come with intentionality. We come with preparedness. And then we come with purpose. The purpose is to strive together to stand firm. It's interesting, he's not telling us to get super aggressive, just stand firm enough to not leave my post. So the purpose of our rituals is that we could strive together to stand firm, so that we don't listen to the compasses of our culture. We listen to God's compass and direction, and together we stand firm and we strive together as good citizens of the kingdom in which we've been accepted. So we do it intentionally. So let me encourage you. What rituals do you have as a pattern? What rituals of being under God's word? What rituals of worship? What rituals of prayer? What rituals of fellowship, enjoying our pastimes? What rituals of sharing Jesus in some way? Do you have some spiritual activities to help make you stronger in these areas so that we can stand firm and we can strive together? Let me encourage you, as we finish off this series, to settle your rituals, because he tells us here, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that I can hear that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith. Amen? We want to stand firm in shifting sands, and we do that by having really solid Christian rituals. So I encourage you to think through these things. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for including this letter in our Bibles, for inspiring the Apostle Paul to write down your words, for preserving this letter to be included in our Bibles, so that we, thousands of years later, can glean from Paul how he settled certain issues in his heart and life so that he could find firm footing in the shifting sands of the first century Roman Empire. It was tough for him to live for you in the first century. And Lord, not in the same way, but it is tough for us, and it's getting tougher to live for you in our culture that wants to send us so many compasses. So, Lord, we want to establish good routines, good rituals, so that we can constantly be in your word, we can be worshiping together, we can be praying for one another, we can have been enjoying the fellowship, we can be remembering what you've done for us, and Lord, we can be reproducing more Christians into your kingdom. Show us how to do this in our life. Lord, each one, it's a little different, but Lord, we know that these rituals aren't just rules to follow, but they're actually tools to help strengthen us to stand firm in our post. Show us how to do this, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.